It's a scary topic, children being forced into modern slavery. Could it really happen here? Yes. Human trafficking threatens nearly a 250,000 children living in the United States alone. In fact, we have recently had major sex trafficking busts involving children right here in Northern Virginia. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia. And my guest today is Jessica Wolkers, who works in human trafficking prevention through Prince William County Schools. Thanks for joining us, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Today, we'll discuss human trafficking, its rise in our area, and how you can help keep the children in our community safe or know the warning signs of a child at risk. So, Jessica, let's start by making sure everybody knows what we're talking about. What is human trafficking?
Sure. And if our listeners are looking for more of a formal definition, I will refer them to the FBI website, specifically the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. But kind of to summarize, we think about human trafficking as two types, both labor and sex trafficking. So we think about it as modern day slavery, and both labor and sex trafficking involve essentially the buying and selling of human beings for profit. And so labor trafficking is when a child or individual is forced to work against their will to make money for others, or it can look like someone that's paid a lower wage than what the services or the work that they're providing is worth. And so examples of labor trafficking would be domestic servitude, someone that's living in a home, working, preparing meals, cleaning the home. Also, it has looked like individuals in restaurants I've heard of examples in construction sites or day laborer sites. And then specifically sex trafficking is where anything of value is exchanged for a commercial sex act. And a commercial sex act can be anything involving anything of a sexual nature, whether that be pornography, stripping, or selling sex for money. And when we think about our child victims, we know that the average age is about 12 to 14.
Preteen stage.
Yes.
And I think we think often of runaway teens as being common victims, but that's not really all of the victims. Who really are the targets for?
Right. And I want to make it clear that this can happen to anyone. It cuts across all socioeconomic statuses, all education levels, all races, and all genders. But there are certain risk categories that we've seen, runaways being one of them. Children that have experienced any form of sexual abuse or trauma in their family of origin, witnessed domestic violence, children that have or teens that have mental health issues or low self-esteem, gang involvement. But really, again, it can happen to anyone. I've seen cases across the span, as I mentioned.
So Prince William County Schools has really formed a collaborative initiative to counteract this. Tell us a little bit about what you all are doing.
Yes. So in 2012, the Virginia General Assembly issued a mandate to all schools in Virginia to implement education related to human trafficking in our schools. And so to do that, we sought a grant through the Potomac Health Foundation to create a classroom lesson to educate our ninth grade students, to create a media campaign, and to really wrap around our community to create a coordinated system of care for victims. And so in the beginning of our work last year, we started this last school year, we spent a lot of time engaging with our community. We met with our child protective services. We met with our juvenile detention services. We met with the police department. And as well as our sexual assault advocacy service, again, to really create a coordinated system of care. And we have contacts at each of those agencies. We have identified any students from the school, from these efforts in schools. And so we designed our lesson specifically using motivational interviewing and change theory. And it was also specifically designed to elicit self-identification both by victims themselves and their peers. And so we really tried to appeal to our adolescent audience. We incorporated a variety of media, we have art, we have music, we have a values clarification exercise. We have another activity that kind of demystifies that this doesn't happen in our backyard, that this is really occurring here, not like most of the students say, oh, only on the movie Taken. So we really try to appeal to a variety of different learners with our lesson. And so at the end of the lesson, we have an opportunity for every student to fill out an attendance sheet, which is their ticket out of class, and to uphold and maintain confidentiality. There is a little check. There are two check boxes where kids can self-identify if they're concerned for themselves or a friend. They can check, yes, I want to talk to someone. No, I don't. And at the end of that, we have trained clinical social workers to meet with any student that has any concern. We just felt ethically that that was the right thing to do, specifically because of the nature of the topic. And if some of the imagery that's used in human trafficking could possibly trigger victims of previous sexual assault. And so we just wanted to do our due diligence to protect our students. And so if students are identified as being at risk or as being involved in the life, as it's called, we do have a process that we follow. We have a point of contact with law enforcement and the Child Protective Services to follow through. So that's really our education in school piece that we do. And then our media campaign included a 15-second public service announcement that aired in all Prince William County theaters over the winter holidays. So when parents and students were on break.
More likely to be at the theater.
Mm-hmm. And then we also had a billboard that was shown in one of our areas that has seen some activity with related to human trafficking.
Great. If you are just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quinones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Jessica Wolkers from Prince William County Schools. And we're talking about human trafficking and specifically as it affects our children here in our local community. And here in the U.S., we don't just see American children involved. We're what they call a source as well as a transit country. Can you tell us a little bit about what those terms mean?
Sure. We do know the most recent statistics that I've seen are we do have approximately 100,000 to 300,000 United States children that are victimized by teen sex trafficking or child sex trafficking annually. However, it is true that we are both source and transit country. So what a source country is where traffickers will target, groom, and manipulate individuals into this lifestyle or this criminal enterprise in our country. And then what a transit country is where traffickers will move individuals or children to that country for a period of time to have them work or perform commercial sex acts for as long as it's profitable and then move them along to the next destination. But we do know also that we are one of the top destination points for victims of child trafficking and exploitation here in the U.S.
So now that we've hopefully sort of raised awareness among our listeners, what are some of the tips and suggestions you provide to community members about how we can protect the children in our community?
I think some of the warning signs that I'll go through those warning signs. But again, I just want to reiterate that this can happen to any child. The average age range is 12 to 14, but we are seeing some younger and some older. But the warning signs that we run through in our staff training and our training within the schools are any student that seems to be skipping school or change in school attendance. Maybe they're not attending their extracurricular activities anymore, or they're pretending to go to school when they're really not. Another huge red flag is a change in peer group, whether that be a student that typically was very outgoing and had a large group of friends and now seems more isolative, or a student that did seem to have a small group of friends and now is running with a crowd that might be more risky to that child. So change in peer group, an increase in sexualized clothing, or a change in style of dress. So the way that traffickers often groom teens is by buying them items. So if a student comes to school with a $300 purse or a really nice watch that you know maybe their parents, that's outside of their means, that's another red flag. We're also seeing an increase in older significant others, whether that be an older boyfriend or an older girlfriend. So a mid-20s individual really has no business being in a relationship with a high schooler or middle schooler. Other red flags to look out for, if your child is spending time in unfamiliar neighborhoods or they seem to have an increased amount of cash on them. Also, branding or small tattoos. We see that traffickers often brand their victims to identify them as property. So this can look like the name of the trafficker, a name of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, their street name, a symbol for their street name, anything affiliated with money. So just those small tattoos are big indicators. Gang affiliation as well, and then drug addiction, whether that be forced or kind of manipulated to perform these acts.
And I can imagine drug addiction is sort of cause and effect, right?
Yes.
So it can be a risk factor that leads them into this life, but it can also be a way of coping with
right.
the life.
Exactly.
So how can parents who are concerned help protect their own children?
I think it begins with a conversation about and how we can be open and honest with our kids that this is occurring, and educating them specific to their developmental level, but that they're all, that this is happening in our community, and really for parents to know who their kids are talking to on social media, who they're talking to through video games and on the internet, and being cognizant that this, again, demystifying that this is happening here in America and not just overseas or somewhere else, that we've seen cases within our malls, again, and online. So again, just really opening those lines of communication and knowing who your children are hanging out with.
We have just about a minute left. If there's a parent or a concerned community member listening or a teen themselves in trouble, where would you recommend they go for help?
First and foremost is local law enforcement. I would always call them, or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is always a really good resource. That number is just 1-800-THE-LOST, as well as the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline. That's 1-888-373-7888.
Thank you, Jessica, for joining us. Human trafficking is a frightening topic. All the more reason we must talk about it to keep the children in our community safe. Don't shy away from the subject. It's critical that we understand its prevalence right here in our neighborhoods. Children are being bought, moved, and coerced into sexual and economic exploitation every day. It's a crisis that requires action on our part to end it, and building connections with every child we know to prevent it from happening in the future. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Jessica Wolkers from Prince William County Schools' Human Trafficking Prevention Program for joining me to talk about this very important topic.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about human trafficking as well as other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.